This is a marketing communication. Please refer to the Key Information Document, or KID, before making any final investment decisions. Investing involves risk. The value of an investment and the income from it may fall as well as rise, and investors might not get back the full amount invested. Past performance does not predict future returns. The mention of any particular security or strategy should not be considered as a recommendation. For further information on the Merchants Trust, please go to www.merchantstrust.co.uk.
There may be an impression that it's sort of just me working on my own in an ivory tower somewhere, but it's not. It's the three of us and actually a much, much bigger team behind us as well. When we're making decisions, they are considered, they're challenged, there's different perspectives brought to bear.
As much as we might be very passionate about ideas we like or very passionate about ones we don't sometimes, it's degrees of comfort with different types of uncertainty.
Hello and welcome to A Value View from the Merchants Trust. I'm John Cronin, and in this episode, we're going to do things a little differently. Usually we spend our time talking about markets, companies, and investment ideas, but today we're going behind the scenes to explore something that's just as important, namely how those investment decisions are actually made. Joining me are Simon Gergel, Lead Fund Manager with the Merchants Trust, together with Richard Knight and Andrew Kosh, who work alongside Simon as part of the investment team. We're going to lift the lid on how the team works together, how ideas are challenged, and why different perspectives can actually lead to better investment decisions. So, Simon, Andrew, Richard, great to have you in the studio. Thanks for your time.
Great to see you, John.
Good afternoon. Great to be here.
Well, look, we've got lots to chat through and the opportunity of speaking to you all as well, which I think is really exciting, really different for us. We've brought the whole team together. And Simon, you and I have spoken many times over the years now on A Value View, and this is the first time that we brought the full team together. So why do you think it's important to have this conversation?
I think it's really great because there may be an impression that it's sort of just me working on my own in an ivory tower somewhere, but it's not. It's the three of us and actually a much, much bigger team behind us as well. And it's really important people understand that when we're making decisions, they are considered, they're challenged, there's different perspectives brought to bear, and it's not just me. And you know, if I fell under a bus tomorrow, there's other people there as well. So there's all sorts of reasons why it's important to understand that there's a team behind it.
Now, hopefully you're not going to fall under a bus at any point soon, but that sense of the team is, I suppose, it's exactly as you say, it's more than the sum total of one person.
Yes, I mean, any person, any individual is subject to biases, to errors of judgment, or just missing stuff. So it's great to have other people looking for ideas, challenging, discussing, and that makes everyone more effective, I think.
The other thing I'd say about that is quite a number of fund management companies, they are based on a star, one person. That can work well, but often one person will have times when they're out of favour, or their style goes adrift, or they lose focus. And it's not like that at all here. There's a very strong team behind Simon.
Okay, Andrew, thank you. So, let me stick with you on this. What actually happens then when someone has an investment idea, Andrew?
What we're trying to do is use the experience of all of us, our different knowledge, our different strengths, to pull it all together, to challenge the idea, see where we could be getting something wrong, look for the weaknesses, probe everything, and just get to the truth of, will this make a good investment or not? Irrespective of whose idea it is, whether it gets in the portfolio or not, is this the right idea?
Okay. Challenging each other, Richard, is what Andrew is saying there, looking for the weaknesses in the ideas. Is that your experience too? Is that what you bring to the table?
Absolutely. And first of all, I just want to say it's a pleasure to be here. I'm a long-time listener and first-time guest.
Good man.
And yeah, Andrew and Simon are absolutely right. It's very important. We're all quite strong-willed people and we have our own views and ideas, and we're not shy about challenging each other's views, but what's really important is we think similarly enough, have that shared philosophy, a value-based philosophy, meaning that we can sort of debate robustly but still be speaking the same language. And I think that's really important.
Right. So more of you means not just more scrutiny, but more ideas.
It can do, yeah. I think there's a balance. Too many people in a team, and perhaps there can be processes can kind of grind to a fairly slow pace. Three is actually a really excellent number because you can mediate between disagreements much more easily with a third party that maybe doesn't feel quite as strongly on the issue as two of the others. So I think three is an excellent dynamic.
And what we try to do, even with three people, if somebody is passionate about an idea and the others don't find a fatal flaw in it, then we may well, even if the other two people don't think it's such a great idea, we may still have a small position in that company, a small investment, based on the passion and the conviction of that one individual. Because I believe that everyone should have some influence individually. But I think where we do agree, we tend to have the biggest positions.
Well, let's expand on that a little bit more, Simon. You're sort of talking about the various different positions that you might take. What are the different roles then that you might assign or see each other as having? I mean, indeed, if you do.
Yeah, well, I think we all have different areas of expertise. I mean, Andrew's got a lot of expertise on the pharmaceutical sector, for example, healthcare. Richard's got a huge amount of experience on energy and banking. So we have areas, sectors that we're stronger on or closer to than others. But we're all generalists at heart. So each of us can look at each other's investment case, which we have a written investment case we'll present. Each of us is capable of looking at investment case and having our own view on it. So we're all sufficiently general to do that. But there are definitely areas that we've got more experience of individually.
So kind of areas of sector specialism, as you say, and that just means that you can dig a little deeper as an individual and advise the rest of the team, Richard?
It means that often the person who might have a little bit more experience, a bit more familiarity with a sector, might take the lead on an investment idea. But that generalism is core to all of us, and we shouldn't be too humble or shy about it, because although it means that, you know, we're not spending all of our time or, you know, building up a very deep expertise just in one area, we are all responsible for all the ideas in the portfolio. We're confident to talk about them. We're not delegating our decision making power, you know, our judgment or our ability to make a decision. And I think that's really, really important because it means we can all take a whole portfolio view.
Right. So a bit of collective responsibility, perhaps, Andrew.
Yes. I mean, there have been occasions where someone has been the champion for an idea, say the tobacco sector, and it's worked poorly for us for a while. It's super helpful to be able to go to a colleague and say, am I getting emotional about this? Will you come in and do a review for me? I know you're not the expert, but a fresh pair of eyes. And that's what we did a couple of years ago, and absolutely the right decision to make. If anything, increased our position, and that came home in spades over the next 2 years. But it's very helpful to increase your conviction if you can have a fresh pair of eyes and say, yes, I completely agree with the initial diagnosis, the initial analysis, keep going.
I think that's possibly even more important with our sort of value-based style, because we quite often find ourselves in reasonably contrarian positions where there is always an argument, or often an argument, as to why something's gone wrong as we're thinking about putting it in the portfolio, or even keeping it in the portfolio if we were perhaps a little bit too early. So that sort of challenge and someone taking the other view as to sort of say, well, actually, this is, you know, cheap for a reason, as they say, is really, really important.
So this all sounds very healthy and harmonious, but what about disagreements? You know, you're three experienced professionals. You're not always going to agree. How do you deal with disagreement? It sounds like you encourage it, but, you know, if it's strong, if there are very strong views, I mean, Simon, that must be something that you have to think about.
Absolutely. And I think the first thing is we all respect each other. So we can disagree, you know, quite passionately sometimes about an investment idea or whether a company, it's less about the company, it's usually more about whether it's a good investment than whether it's a good company. But we can disagree about that, but we respect each other's views and opinions. I think if there's a lead person who's really pushing something, and as I sort of said, tried to say earlier, and the others are okay with it, but maybe not really in agreement, but I try and encourage people to have some individual situations which they push and they monitor. Because otherwise, one of the problems of being contrarian is often your colleagues don't agree with you either.
Yeah.
But that can still be, it can still be right to, you know, if there's an idea that's been well thought through, to have a small position there, because it may well be the right call. But more often than that, I'd say we either all three of us agree, or at least two of us do. So it's important to have that right environment.
How does a view carry, though? I mean, is there a if there's stark disagreement, Does it go to a vote, or is it just a reasonable agreement?
It gets personal. It's always, I mean, we get on very well. There's no ego on the team. So I don't think we've ever had a formal vote. It's just clear from the way we've talked about it, a calm discussion. Even when I've had a stock I've really wanted, really believed in, thought would be a good idea, if the others don't agree and it doesn't get in, that's absolutely fine. What we're really trying to do is get the very best ideas into the portfolio. If I can't convince Richard and Simon, it can't be that good an idea.
If you think about our investment process, where we think about the fundamentals of a business, the valuation of a business, and the external thematic environment that the company is operating in, we may disagree on, so there may be an external theme that some of us think is demographic theme is very powerful, very important, and others might think actually it's less of an important issue. We might disagree about that part of it, but it might be sufficiently cheap that we're all going to have, we think there's sufficient value there. But it's not always black and white. It's not always, yes, it's a good idea, no, it's a bad idea. It can be a disagreement about an aspect right. of the investment case or the process.
So it's it's more nuanced.
Yes,
I suppose,
absolutely.
In that respect.
And the great thing about portfolio is you don't have to have every position at 3%. You can have a 1% position or a 2% position, depending on your level of conviction and upside.
And Richard, when was the last time you disagreed with Simon and Andrew on a particular investment idea, you know, full-heartedly?
Oh, it's hard to find a binary like that because we're dealing in risk all of the time. And anyone who claims to be absolutely certain about any one particular investment idea, whether positively or negatively, should probably be distrusted. You know, we are, as much as we might be very passionate about ideas we like or very passionate about ones we don't sometimes, it's degrees of comfort with different types of uncertainty. And as Andrew put earlier, if there is strong disagreement from two other people on our small team, then that should tell us something about the degree of uncertainty we may have. And that doesn't mean we won't have a position at all, but it probably means we're a little bit more careful about the position size, perhaps, or perhaps doing a little bit extra due diligence than we might otherwise do.
I just want to move on from the disagreements or lack of, or the healthy debate, to what that says about how you work together in terms of the experience that you all bring to the table and the experience of obviously working together. Has the time that you've worked together shaped the way that you reach decisions now? Have you changed the way that you approach things through the experience of working together?
I'm not sure it's changed dramatically. I think having three people rather than two actually makes it a lot easier to crystallise a decision. Because if there's two people and you disagree, that's actually quite tricky. But the third person changes the dynamics and makes it much easier to coalesce around something. Or maybe say, okay, two of us don't have a strong view, but the third person has a really passionate view. Let's stay with that. So I think three works really well, and that's probably been the biggest change over the last 4 or 5 years when Andrew joined us.
Simon's been in the market a long time, and I'm extremely fortunate to work with someone who's been through those cycles and seen so many points in time that can be extremely volatile, quite scary in the stock market for the holdings you've got, for your positioning. And I've done an awful lot of, my background's in economic history and I read a lot about financial crises and disruptions and all sorts. And obviously have experience going just touching the great financial crisis. But it's different when you feel it firsthand to just reading about it. When this industry, what we're trying to do is much more about controlling your emotions than people realise, and perhaps much less about being the smartest person in the market or doing the most research into an issue. The market is inherently emotional, and it's extremely tempting to follow that emotion when it's being very strongly exhibited. And one of the things I find, as I say, best about working with Simon is that calmness in a kind of crisis, or it might not seem like a crisis later, but it always feels like it at the time, or can do, and it's about keeping you cool, really.
So just picking up on the point you've made there, Richard, markets, as you say, can become pretty emotional, are emotional. So I guess the point I'm interested in exploring is in amongst all of that, does having the team help you stay more disciplined then, Andrew? Is that your experience?
Yes, definitely. There are times when there's news out in the morning, important news, and often it's not black and white. It's very helpful to look at it, analyse it as best you can, but then sound it off your colleagues who know that company as well. Because when stocks are moving extremely, it's easy to get forced into thinking you need to act. And it's lovely to have the sounding board of two colleagues to explain what you think, get them push back and say, oh, but is that really that important? Or, oh yeah, I see what you mean. That actually this fundamentally undermines the company and its competitive position. We need to act. If you're just on your own and when everything is going haywire, it's too easy to get emotional, but we've got to stay rational and calm.
Anything you'd add to that, Simon?
Yeah, and Andrew's absolutely right. And it can go the other way as well. There can be things you look at and think, ah, that's interesting, but is it really important? And somebody else says, actually, you know what, that is a really important issue that's come up. It might be a great opportunity for share. Sometimes you see a share price down 10% on an announcement that you think, I didn't think it was that bad. And if your colleagues agree, actually, the fundamentals, the long-term value of the company hasn't really changed just because the weather's bad for 3 months and the trading's a bit weaker. If the shares are 10% cheaper than they were yesterday, that could be a great opportunity. But sometimes on your own, you don't feel brave enough almost to make that decision. But if the two or three of you think this is a great opportunity, then it really reinforces that and gives you the courage and the conviction to do that.
I've had that in other times in my career where I've been the only real value investor. And it's quite hard sometimes to be the contrarian that you can be and really take advantage of the markets. If everyone else looks at you like you're mad, it's quite difficult. If you've got two sane colleagues who think in similar ways, it works very well.
Okay, that's a great way of putting it. Listen, I want to put one question to you all as we get close to the end of our time together. And that's really a reflection for those watching for the first time or those that are seeing you all together for the first time, who are invested in the Merchants Trust. What's the one thing that you think they probably don't realise about how you work together? The one thing that maybe would surprise them? A tricky question, but something that just that we can share now that will be a useful reflection for them. Simon, what do you think?
I would say when you've got an investment idea, what you want to really do is try and disprove it, try and prove it wrong. And if you can't prove it wrong, give it a hard time, get somebody else to give it a hard time. And if after you've really challenged it, you still think it's a good idea, that's much more powerful than if you come up with a good idea and don't really think about the alternatives. And I think working in a team allows you to do that, particularly where people have a similar mindset, similar approach.
So stress testing it as
stress
well.
Testing it, devil's advocate, whatever you want to call it, having that contra view really allows you to build conviction.
Andrew, anything you would add to that?
I think because we don't have egos in the team, there are very few black and whites. Most of what we're talking about is shades of grey. And that's why you'll see us start with a smallish position, because it looks interesting, it's on the cheap side, things happen, valuation changes, we'll gradually build up a position. It's very rare that we come in and say, brilliant idea, 3% position. It's more steady, more careful.
Right, thank you. And Richard, any thoughts you'd add to that?
I think just that it requires a lot of emotional discipline. There's always a reason to follow the market either too far down or too far up on any particular investment when things are going badly or very well. And that discipline shared by like-minded colleagues is so powerful. It's that depth of bench, if you like, both on the team, small team though it is, but our wider platform as well. And of course, our interactions with the board, which are hugely helpful in providing that extra layer of challenge with very experienced people.
Well, it's fascinating to hear how you're all working together and to get a sense of that insight into the way the Merchants Trust functions. But Simon, perhaps I can leave the last words to you, just in your thoughts on what that tells us about the approach that you take as portfolio managers, as investors.
Well, it is a team. It is a team approach. So it's not just the three, not just me, certainly. It's not just the three of us, but there's a whole team of investors. There's a whole team of company secretaries. There's the board who sit above and check on what we're doing in the investment trust. So it really is a team endeavor to build the portfolio, to challenge it and make sure it's appropriate to deliver both the total return we're trying to deliver, but also the income requirement, which we haven't really talked about. but it's very important that we focus on trying to deliver a steady rising dividend over time as well. So I just emphasise that it really is a team approach.
Well, we've got the three of you in the studio. Actually, it's a much bigger team than that.
Even that, yeah, absolutely.
Okay, well, Simon, Andrew, Richard, thank you very much indeed. It's great to have you in the studio and thank you for your time.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
And thank you for watching A Value View. If you enjoyed this episode, do subscribe, comment below, share it with anyone interested in understanding what really goes on behind the scenes of long-term investing. And you can find out more about the Merchants Trust, together with Simon's latest investor updates and market commentary, by visiting merchantstrust.co.uk. We'll see you next time.